He saw Christopher Robin. "Hello," he shouted joyfully. "Hello, Pooh." Piglet looked up and looked away again. And he felt so foolish and uncomfortable that he had almost decided to run away to the sea and be a sailor, when suddenly he saw something. "Pooh," he cried, "there's something climbing up your back."
"I thought there was," said Pooh.
"It's small," cried Piglet.
"Oh, that's who it is," said Pooh.
"Christopher Robin, I've found Small," cried Piglet.
"Well done, Piglet," said Christopher Robin.
And at these encouraging words, Piglet felt quite happy again, and decided not to be a sailor after all. So when Christopher Robin had helped them out of the gravel pit, they all went off together, hand in hand. And 2 days later, Rabbit happened to meet Eeyore in the forest.
"Hello, Eeyore," he said. "What are you looking for?"
"Small, of course," said Eeyore.
"Haven't you any brain?"
"Oh, but didn't I tell you," said Rabbit, "Small was found 2 days ago." There was a moment's silence.
"Ha, ha," said Eeyore bitterly. "Merriment and whatnot. Don't apologize. It's just what would happen."
Now, when it's time for Daddy to go get some supper, or his stomach is going to growl, growl, like tiger. Because it's very, very hungry. Not having had anything since breakfast. Yeah, I can't really say that. I had a cookie. Every once in a while, Daddy is very bad, and he goes and buys a snack at the PX, or box of snacks. Not very often. Because usually everything is very stale over here. It's been shipped so long ago. But now it's time for some dinner, so I'm going to turn off the tape recorder. And I'll read you some stories, more stories later on after dinner. Bye. Well, when your daddy got back from dinner and got his tummy full of food, so it's not grumbly and rumbly anymore, so I'm ready to read you some more stories. And this Winnie the Pooh story is a Winnie the Pooh story in which it is shown that tigers climb, it's shown that tigers don't climb trees. One day when Pooh was thinking, he thought he would go and see Eeyore, because he hadn't seen him since yesterday. And as he walked through the heather, singing to himself, he suddenly remembered that he hadn't seen Owl since the day before yesterday. So he thought that he would just look in at the 100-acre wood on the way and see if Owl was at home. Well, he went on singing until he came to the part of the stream where the stepping stones were. And when he was in the middle of the third stone, he began to wonder how Kanga and Roo and Tiger were getting on, because they all lived together in a different part of the forest. And he thought, "I haven't seen Roo for a long time. If I don't see him today, it will be still a longer time." So he sat down on the stone in the middle of the stream and sang another verse of his song, while he wondered what to do. The other verse of the song was like this: "I could spend a happy morning seeing Roo. I could spend a happy morning being Pooh, for it doesn't seem to matter. And if I don't get any fatter, what I do?" The sun was so delightfully warm, and the stone which had been sitting in it for a long time was so warm too, that Pooh had almost decided to go on being Pooh in the middle of the stream for the rest of the morning when he remembered Rabbit. "Rabbit," said Pooh to himself, "I like talking to Rabbit. He talks about sensible things. He doesn't use long, difficult words like Owl. He uses short, easy words like, 'What about lunch?' and 'Help yourself, Pooh.' I suppose, really, I ought to go on see Rabbit," which made him think of another verse. "Oh, I like his way of talking. Yes, I do. It's the nicest way of talking, just for two. And to help yourself with Rabbit, though it may become a habit, is a pleasant sort of habit for a Pooh." So when he had sung this, he got up off his stone and walked back across the stream and set off for Rabbit's house. But he hadn't got far before he began to say to himself, "Yes, but suppose Rabbit is out? Or suppose I get stuck in his front door again?
coming out as I did once when his front door wasn't big enough. Because I know I'm not getting fatter, but his front door may be getting thinner. So wouldn't it be better if? And all the time he was saying things like this, he was going more and more westerly, without thinking. Until suddenly he found himself at his own front door again. And it was 11 o'clock, which was time for a little something. Half an hour later, he was doing what he had always really meant to do. He was stumping off to Piglet's house. And as he walked, he wiped his mouth with the back of his paw and sang a rather fluffy song through the fur. It went like this. I could spend a happy morning seeing Piglet, and I couldn't spend a happy morning not seeing Piglet, and it doesn't seem to matter if I don't see Owl and Eeyore or any of the others, and I'm not going to see Owl or Eeyore or any of the others or Christopher Robin. Written down like this, it doesn't seem a very good song, but coming through the pale fawn fluff at about 11:30 on a very sunny morning seemed to Pooh to be one of the best songs he had ever sung, so he went on singing it. Piglet was busy digging a small hole in the ground outside his house. "Hello, Piglet," said Pooh. "Hello, Pooh," said Piglet, giving a jump of surprise. "I knew it was you." "So did I," said Pooh. "What are you doing?" "I'm planting a hay corn, Pooh, so that it can grow up into a oak tree and have lots of acorns just outside the front door instead of having to walk miles and miles. Do you see, Pooh?" "Supposing it doesn't," said Pooh. "It will, because Christopher Robin says it will, so that's why I'm planting it." "Well," said Pooh, "if I plant a honeycomb outside my house, then it will grow up into a beehive." Piglet wasn't quite sure about this. "Or a piece of a honeycomb," said Pooh, "so as not to waste too much. Only then I might only get a piece of a beehive. I might be the wrong piece, where the bees are buzzing and not honeying. Bother." Piglet agreed that that would be rather bothering. "Besides, Pooh, it's a very difficult thing, planting, unless you know how to do it," he said. And he put the acorn in the hole he had made and covered it up with earth and jumped on it. "I do know," said Pooh, "because Christopher Robin gave me a nasturtium seed, and I planted it. I'm going to have nasturtiums all over the front door." "I thought they were called nasturtiums," said Piglet timidly, as he went on jumping. "No," said Pooh, "not these. They are called nasturtiums." When Piglet had finished jumping, he wiped his paws on his front and said, "What shall we do now?" And Pooh said, "Let's go see Kanga and Roo and Tiger." And Piglet said, "Yes, let's," because he was still a little anxious about Tiger, who was a very bouncy animal with a way of saying, "How do you do?" which always left your ears full of sand, even after Kanga had said gently, "Tiger dear," and helped you up again. So they set off for Kanga's house. Now it happened that Kanga had felt rather motherly that morning and wanting to count things, like Roo's vests and how many pieces of soap there were left, and the two clean spots in Tiger's feeder. So she had sent them out with a packet of watercress sandwiches for Roo and a packet of extract of malt sandwiches for Tiger to have a nice long morning in the forest, not getting into mischief. And off they had gone. And as they went, Tiger told Roo, who wanted to know, all about the things that tigers could do. "Can they fly?" asked Roo. "Yes," said Tiger. "They're very good flyers, tigers are. Thorny good flyers." "Oh," said Roo, "can they fly as well as Owl?" "Yes," said Tiger, "only they don't want to." "Why don't they want to?" "Well, I just don't like it somehow." Roo couldn't understand this because he thought it would be lovely to be able to fly, but Tiger had said it was difficult to explain to anybody who wasn't a tiger himself. "Well," said Roo, "can they jump up as far as Kangas?" "Yes," said Tiger, "when they want to." "I love jumping," said Roo. "Let's see who can jump furthest, you or me." I said, "I can," said Tiger, "but we mustn't stop now, or we shall be late."
"Late for what?"
"For whatever we want to be in time for," said Tiger, hurrying on. In a little while they came to the 6 pine trees.
"I can swim," said Roo. "I fell into the river and I swim."
"Can tigers swim?"
"Of course they can. Tigers can do everything."
"Can they climb trees better than Pooh?"
asked Roo, stopping under the tallest pine tree and looking up at it.
"Climbing trees is what they do best," said Tiger. "Much better than Pooh's."
"Could they climb this one?"
"They're always climbing trees like that," said Tiger. "Up and down all day."
"Oh, Tiger, are they really?"
"I show you," said Tiger bravely, "and you can sit on my back and watch me." For of all the things which he had said tigers could do, the only one he felt really certain about suddenly was climbing trees.
"Ooh, Tiger, ooh, Tiger, ooh, Tiger," squeaked Roo excitedly.
So he sat on Tiger's back, and up they went. And for the first 10 feet, Tiger said happily to himself, "Up we go." And for the next 10 feet, he said, "I always said tigers could climb trees." And for the next 10 feet, he said, "Not that it's easy, mind you." And for the next 10 feet, he said, "Of course there's a coming down to, backwards." And then he said, "Which will be difficult, unless one fell, when it would be easy." And at the word easy, the branch he was standing on broke suddenly, and he just managed to clutch at the one above him as he felt himself going. And then slowly he got his chin over it, and then one back paw, and then the other, until at last he was sitting on it, breathing very quickly, wishing that he had gone in for swimming instead. Roo climbed off and sat down next to him. "Ooh, Tiger," said excitedly, "are we at the top?"
"No," said Tiger.
"Are we going to the top?"
"No," said Tiger.
"Oh," said Roo rather sadly. Then he went on hopefully. "That was a lovely bit just now, when you pretended we were going to fall, bumped to the bottom, and we didn't. We do that bit again?" said
"No," said Tiger.
Roo was silent for a little while. Then he said, "Shall we eat our sandwiches, Tiger?" And Tiger said, "Yes, where are they?" And Roo said, "At the bottom of the tree." And Tiger said, "I don't think we'd better eat them just yet." So they didn't. By and by, Pooh and Piglet came along. Pooh was telling Piglet in a singing voice that it didn't seem to matter if he didn't get any fatter, and he didn't think he was getting any fatter. What he did, and Piglet was wondering how long it would be before his acorn came up. "Look, Pooh," said Piglet suddenly, "there's something in one of the pine trees."
"So there is," said Pooh, looking up wonderingly. "There's an animal."
Piglet took Pooh's arm in case Pooh was frightened.
"Is it one of the fiercer animals?" he said, looking the other way.
Pooh nodded. "It's a jaguar," he said.
"What do jaguars do?" asked Piglet, hoping they wouldn't.
"They hide in the branches of trees and drop on you as you go underneath," said Pooh. "Christopher Robin told me."
"Perhaps we'd better have him go underneath, Pooh, in case he dropped and hurt himself."
"They don't hurt themselves," said Pooh. "They're such very good droppers." Piglet still felt that to be underneath a very good dropper would be a mistake. He was just going to hurry back for something which he had forgotten when the jaguar called out to them. "Help, help," it called.
"That's what jaguars always do," said Pooh, much interested. "They call, help, help, and then when you look up, they drop on you."
"I'm looking down," cried Piglet loudly, so as the jaguar shouldn't do the wrong thing by accident. Something very excited next to the jaguar heard him and squeaked, "Pooh and Piglet, Pooh and Piglet." All of a sudden, Piglet felt that it was a much nicer day than he thought it was, all warm and sunny.
"Pooh," he cried, "I believe it's Tiger and Roo."
"So it is," said Pooh. "I thought it was a jaguar and another jaguar."
"Hello, Roo," called Piglet. "What are you doing?"
"We can't get down, we can't get down," cried Roo.
"Isn't it fun, Pooh, isn't it fun?
Tiger and I are living in a tree, like Owl, and we're going to stay here forever and ever.
I can see Piglet's house. Piglet, I can see your house from here.
Aren't we high? Is Owl's house as high as this? How did you get there, Roo? Asked Piglet.
On Tiger's back.
And tigers can't climb downwards because their tails get in the way. Only upwards. And Tiger forgot about that when we started. And he's only just remembered. So we've got to stay here forever and ever. Unless we go higher.
What did you say, Tiger?
Oh, Tiger says if we go higher, we shan't be able to see Piglet's house so well. So we're going to stop here.
Piglet, said Pooh solemnly, when he heard all this, what shall we do?
And he began to eat tiger sandwiches.
Are they stuck? Asked Piglet anxiously.
Pooh nodded.
Couldn't you climb up to them?
I might, Piglet. And I might bring Roo down on my back, but I couldn't bring Tiger down, so we must think of something else. And in a thoughtful way, he began to eat Roo's sandwiches, too. Whether he would have thought of anything before he had finished his last sandwich, I don't know. But he had just got to the last but one when there was a crackling in the bracken, and then Christopher, Robin, and Eeyore came strolling along together. I shouldn't be surprised if it hailed a good deal tomorrow, Eeyore was saying. Blizzards and whatnot. Being fine today doesn't mean anything. It has no sig... What's that word? Well, it has none of that. It's just a small piece of weather.
There's Pooh, said Christopher Robin, who didn't mind much what it did tomorrow, as long as he was out in it.
Hello, Pooh.
It's Christopher Robin, said Piglet. He'll know what to do.
They hurried up to him.
Oh, Christopher Robin, began Pooh.
And Eeyore, said Eeyore.
Tiger and Roo are right up the 6 pine trees, and they can't get down, and I was just saying, put in Piglet, that if only Christopher Robin and Eeyore, if only you were here, then we could think of something to do.
Christopher Robin looked up at Tiger and Roo and tried to think of something.
I thought, said Piglet earnestly, that if Eeyore stood at the bottom of the tree and if Pooh stood on Eeyore's back, if I stood on Pooh's shoulders, and if Eeyore's back snapped suddenly, then we could all laugh. Ha ha. Amusing in a quiet way, said Eeyore, but not really helpful.
Well, said Piglet meekly, I thought.
Would break your back, Eeyore, asked Pooh, very much surprised.
That's what would be so interesting, Pooh, not being quite sure till afterwards.
Pooh said, oh, and they all began to think again.
I've got an idea, cried Christopher Robin suddenly.
Listen to this, Piglet, said Eeyore, and you'll know what we're trying to do.
I'll take off my tunic, and we'll each hold a corner, and then Roo and Tiger can jump into it, and it will be all soft and bouncy for them, and they won't hurt themselves.
Getting Tiger down, said Eeyore, and not hurting anybody.
Keep those two ideas in your head, Piglet, and you'll be all right.
But Piglet wasn't listening. He was so agog at the thought of seeing Christopher Robin's blue braces again. He'd only seen them once before, when he was much younger, and being a little overexcited by them, he had to go to bed half an hour earlier than usual. And he had always wondered since if they were really as blue and as bracing as he had thought them. So when Christopher Robin took his tunic off, and they were, he felt quite friendly to Eeyore again, and held the corner of the tunic next to him, and smiled happily at him. And Eeyore whispered back, I'm not saying there won't be an accident now, mind you. They're funny things, accidents. You never have them till you're having them. When Roo understood what he had to do, he was wildly excited and cried, Tiger, Tiger, we're going to jump. Look at me jumping, Tiger. Like flying, my jumping will be. Can tigers do it? And he squeaked out, I'm coming, Christopher Robin. And he jumped straight into the middle of the tunic. And he was going so fast that he bounced up again almost as high as where he was before and went on bouncing and saying, ooh, ooh, for a long time. Then at last he stopped and said, ooh, lovely, and they put him on the ground. Come on, Tiger, he called out. It's easy. But Tiger was holding on to the branch and saying to himself, it's all very well for jumping animals like Kangas, but it's quite different for swimming animals like tigers. He thought of himself floating on his back down a river, or striking out from one island to another, and he felt that was really the life for a tiger. Come along, called Christopher Robin. You'll be all right.
Just wait a moment, said Tiger nervously. Small piece of bark in my eye, and he moved slowly along his branch. Come on, it's easy, squeaked Roo. And suddenly Tiger found out how easy it was. Ow, he shouted as a tree flew past him. Look out, cried Christopher Robbins and the others. There was a crash and a tearing noise and a confused heap of everybody on the ground. Christopher Robin and Pooh and Piglet picked themselves up first, and then they picked up Tiger up, and underneath everybody else was Eeyore. Oh, Eeyore, cried Christopher Robin. Are you hurt? And he felt him rather anxiously and dusted him and helped him to stand up again. Eeyore said nothing for a long time, and he said, Is Tiger there? Tiger was there, feeling bouncy again already. Yes, said Christopher Robin. Tiger's here. Well, just thank him for me, said Eeyore. Well, that was a funny story about tigers climbing trees and getting stuck up in trees. I bet winds can climb trees real well without getting stuck in them. Well, let me get on to the next story. And this is a story in which Rabbit has a busy day, and we learn what Christopher Robin does in the mornings. It was going to be one of Rabbit's busy days. As soon as he woke up, he felt important, as if everything depended upon him. It was just a day for organizing something, or for writing a notice signed Rabbit, or for seeing what everybody else thought about it. It's a perfect morning for hurrying around to Pooh and saying, Very well, then, I'll tell Piglet. And then going to Piglet and saying, Pooh thinks, but perhaps I better see Owl first. It was a captainish sort of day when everybody said, Yes, Rabbit, and No, Rabbit, and waited until he had told them. He came out of his house and sniffed the warm spring morning as he wondered what he would do. Kanga's house was nearest, and at Kanga's house was Roo, who said yes, Rabbit, and no, Rabbit, almost better than anybody in the forest. But there was another animal there nowadays, a strange and bouncy tiger. And he was the sort of tiger who was always in front when you were showing him the way anywhere, and he was generally out of sight when at last he came to the place and said proudly, Here we are. No, not Kanga, said Rabbit thoughtfully to himself as he curled his whiskers in the sun. To make quite sure that he wasn't going there, he turned to the left and trotted off in the other direction, which was the way to Christopher Robin's house. After all, said Rabbit to himself, Christopher Robin depends on me. He's fond of Pooh and Piglet and Eeyore, and so am I, but they haven't any brain, not to notice. And he respects Al because you can't help respecting anybody who can spell Tuesday, even if he doesn't spell it right. But spelling isn't everything. There are days when spelling Tuesday simply doesn't count. And Kanga is too busy looking after Roo, and Roo is too young, and Tiger is too bouncy to be of any help. So there's really nobody but me when you come to look at it. I'll go and see if there's anything he wants doing. And I'll do it for him. It's just a day for doing things. He trotted along happily, and by and by he crossed the stream and came to the place where his friends and relations lived. There seemed to be even more of them about than usual this morning, and having nodded to a hedgehog or two, with whom he was too busy to shake hands, and having said, good morning, importantly to some of the others, and Ah, there you are, kindly, to the smaller ones. He waved a paw at them over his shoulder and was gone, leaving such an air of excitement and I don't know what behind him that several members of the beetle family, including Henry Rush, made their way at once to the 100-acre wood and began climbing trees in the hope of getting to the top before it happened, whatever it was, so they might see it properly. Rabbit hurried on by the edge of the 100-acre wood, feeling more important every minute, and soon he came to the tree where Christopher Robin lived. He knocked at the door, and he called out once or twice. Then he walked back a little way and put his paw up to keep the sun out and called to the top of the tree, and then he turned all around and shouted, "Hello!" And I say, "It's Rabbit." But nothing happened. Then he stopped and listened, and everybody and everything stopped and listened with him. And the forest was very lone and still and peaceful in the sunshine, until suddenly, 100 miles above him, a lark began to sing. "Bother," said Rabbit, "he's gone out." He went back to the green front door just to make sure, and he was turning away, feeling that his morning had got all spoiled, when he saw a piece of paper on the ground, and there was a pin in it, as if it had fallen off the door. "Ha," said Rabbit, feeling quite happy again, "another notice." And this is what it said: "Gone out. Back soon. Busy. Back soon. CR. "Ha," said Rabbit again, "I must tell the others," and he hurried off importantly. The nearest house was Owl's, and to Owl's house in the 100-acre wood he made his way. He came to Owl's door, and he knocked, and he rang, and he rang, and he knocked, and at last Owl's head came out and said, "Go away, I'm thinking." "Oh, it's you," which was how he always began. "Owl," said Rabbit shortly, "you and I have brains. The others have fluff. If there is any thinking to be done in this forest, and when I say thinking, I mean thinking, you and I must do it." "Yes," said Owl, "I was. Read that." Owl took Christopher Robin's notice from Rabbit and looked at it nervously. He could spell his own name, W-O-L. And he could spell Tuesday so that he knew it wasn't Wednesday. And he could read quite comfortably when you weren't looking over his shoulder and saying "well" all the time. And he could... "Well," said Rabbit. "Yes," said Owl, looking wise and thoughtful. "I see what you mean, undoubtedly." "Well?" "Exactly," said Owl. "Precisely." And he added after a little thought, "If you had not come to me, I should have come to you." "Why?" asked Rabbit. "For that very reason," said Owl, hoping that something helpful would happen soon. "Yesterday morning," said Rabbit solemnly, "I went to see Christopher Robin. He was out. Pinned on his door was a notice." "The same notice?" "A different one, but the meaning was the same. It's very odd." "Amazing," said Owl, looking at the notice again, and getting, just for a moment, a curious sort of feeling that something had happened to Christopher Robin's back. "What did you do?"
"Nothing."
"Best thing," said Owl wisely.
"Well," said Rabbit again, as Owl knew he was going to.
"Exactly," said Owl. For a little while he couldn't think of anything more, and then all of a sudden he had an idea. "Tell me, Rabbit," he said, "the exact words of the first notice. This is very important. Everything depends on this. The exact words of the first notice." "It was just the same as that one, really." Owl looked at him and wondered whether to push him off the tree. But feeling that he could always do it afterwards, he tried once more to find out what they were talking about. "The exact words, please," he said, as if Rabbit hadn't spoken. "Just said, gone out, back soon, same as this one. Only this says, busy, back soon, too." Owl gave a great sigh of relief. "Ah," said Owl, "now we know where we are."
"Yes, but where's Christopher Robin?" said Rabbit. "That's the point."
Owl looked at the notice again. To one of his education in reading, the reading of it was easy. "Gone out, back soon, busy, back soon." Just the sort of thing you'd expect to see on a notice. "It's quite clear what has happened, my dear Rabbit," he said. "Christopher Robin has gone out somewhere with Back Soon. He and Back Soon are busy together. Have you seen Back Soon anywhere about in the forest lately?"
"I don't know," said Rabbit. "That's why I came to ask you." What are they like?
Well, said an owl, the spotters are herbaceous, Baxon. It's just a, at least he said it, it's really more of a, of course, he said, it depends on the, well, said owl, the fact is, he said, I don't know what they're like, said the owl frankly.
Thank you, said Rabbit, and he hurried off to get see Pooh.
Before he'd gone very far, he heard a noise, so he stopped and listened. This was the noise.
So it was a noise by Pooh.
Oh, the butterflies are flying, now the winter days are dying, and the primroses are trying to be seen, and the turtle doves are cooing, and the woods are up and doing, for the violets are blooming in the green. Oh, the honeybees are gumming on their little wings and humming. That the summer which is coming will be fun. And the cows are almost cooing, and the turtle doves are mooing, which is why a poo is pooing in the sun. For the spring is really springing. You can see a skylark singing, and the bluebells, which are ringing, can be heard. And the cuckoo isn't cooing, but is cucking and ooing, and a poo is simply pooing like a bird.
Hello, Pooh, said Rabbit.
Hello, Rabbit, said Pooh dreamily.
Did you make that song up?
Well, I sort of made it up, said Pooh. It isn't brain, he went on humbly, because you know why, Rabbit. But it comes to me sometimes.
Ah, said Rabbit, who never let things come to him, but always went and fetched them.
Well, the point is, have you seen a spotted or herbaceous Baxon in the forest at all?
No, said Pooh.
Not a no, said Pooh. I saw a tiger just now.
That's no good.
No, said Pooh. I thought it wasn't. Have you seen Piglet?
Yes, said Pooh. I suppose that isn't any good either, he asked meekly.
Well, it depends if he saw anything.
He saw me, said Pooh.
Rabbit sat down on the ground next to Pooh, and feeling much less important like that, stood up again.
But it all comes to this, he said. What does Christopher Robin do in the morning nowadays?
What sort of thing?
Well, can you tell me anything you've seen him do in the morning these last few days?
Yes, said Pooh. We had breakfast together yesterday by the pine trees. I'd made up a little basket.
Just a little fair-sized basket.
An ordinary, biggish sort of basket full of...
Yes, yes, said Robin.
But I mean later than that. Have you seen him between 11 and 12?
Well, said Pooh, at 11 o'clock. At 11 o'clock? Well, at 11 o'clock, you see, I generally get home about then, because I have one or two things to do.
Quarter past 11, then.
Well, said Pooh, half past?
Yes, said Pooh, at half past, or perhaps later I might see him.
Now that he did think of it, he began to remember that he hadn't seen Christopher Robin about so much lately. Not in the mornings. Afternoons, yes. Evenings, yes. Before breakfast, yes. Just after breakfast, yes. And then, perhaps, see you again, Pooh, and off he'd go.
That's just it, said Rabbit. Where?
Perhaps he's looking for something.
What? Asked Rabbit.
That's just what I was going to say, said Pooh.
Then he added, perhaps he's looking for a spotted herbaceous Baxon?
Yes, said Pooh, one of those.
In case it isn't.
Rabbit looked at him severely.
I don't think you're helping, he said.
No, said Pooh. I do try, he added humbly.
Rabbit thanked him for trying and said that he would now go and see Eeyore, and Pooh could walk with him if he liked. But Pooh, who felt another verse of song coming on him, said he would wait for Piglet. Goodbye, Rabbit. So Rabbit went off. But, as it happened, it was Rabbit who saw Piglet first. Piglet had got up early that morning to pick himself a bunch of violets, and when he had picked them, he put them in a pot in the middle of his house. It suddenly came over him that nobody had ever picked Eeyore a bunch of violets, and the more he thought of this, and the more he thought how sad it was to be an animal who had never had a bunch of violets picked for him. So he hurried out again, saying to himself, Eeyore, violets, and then violets, Eeyore, in case he forgot, because it was that sort of day. He picked a large bunch and trotted along, smelling them and feeling very happy, until he came to the place where Eeyore was.
Oh, Eeyore, began Piglet a little nervously, because Eeyore was busy. Eeyore put out a paw and waved him away. Tomorrow, said Eeyore, or the next day. Piglet came a little closer to see what it was. Eeyore had three sticks in the ground and was looking at them. Two of the sticks were touching at one end, but not at the other, and the third stick was laid across them. Piglet thought that perhaps it was a trap of some kind. Oh, Eeyore, he began again, just... Is that little Piglet? Said Eeyore, still looking hard at his sticks. Yes, Eeyore, and I... Do you know what this is? No, said Piglet. It's an A. Oh, said Piglet. Not O, A, said Eeyore severely. Can't you hear? Or do you think you have more education than Christopher Robin? Yes, said Piglet. No, said Piglet very quickly, and he came closer still. Christopher Robin said it was an A, and an A it is, until somebody treads on me, Eeyore added sternly. Piglet jumped backwards hurriedly and smelled at his violets. Do you know what A means, little Piglet? No, Eeyore, I don't. It means learning. It means education. It means all the things that you and Pooh haven't got. That's what A means. Oh, said Piglet again. I mean, does it? He explained quickly. I'm telling you. People come and go in this forest, and they say, it's only Eeyore, so it doesn't count. They walk to and fro, saying, ha ha. But they know anything about A? They don't. It's just three sticks to them. But to the educated, mark this, little Piglet, to the educated, not meaning Poohs and Piglets, it's a great and glorious A. Not, he added, just something that anybody can come and breathe on. Piglet stepped back nervously and looked round for help. Here's Rabbit, he said gladly. Hello, Rabbit. Rabbit came up importantly and nodded to Piglet and said, ah, Eeyore, in the voice of one who would be saying goodbye in about two more minutes. There's just one thing I wanted to ask you, Eeyore. What happens to Christopher Robin in the mornings nowadays? What's this that I'm looking at, said Eeyore, still looking at it. Three sticks, said Rabbit promptly. You see, said Eeyore to Piglet. He turned to Rabbit. I will now answer your question, he said solemnly. Thank you, Rabbit. What does Christopher Robin do in the mornings? He learns. He becomes educated. He instigates. I think that is the word he mentioned, but I may be referring to something else. He instigates knowledge. In my small way, I also, if I have the word right, am doing what he does. That, for instance, is an A, said Rabbit, but not a very good one. Well, I must get back and tell the others. Eeyore looked at the sticks, and then he looked at Piglet. What did Rabbit say it was, he asked. An A, said Piglet. Did you tell him? No, Eeyore, I didn't. I expect he just knew. He knew? You mean this A thing is a thing Rabbit knew? Yes, Eeyore. He's clever. Rabbit is. Clever, said Eeyore scornfully, putting a foot heavily on his three sticks. Education, said Eeyore, bitterly jumping on his six sticks. What is learning, asked Eeyore as he kicked his 12 sticks into the air. A thing Rabbit knows. Ha! I think, began Piglet nervously. Don't, said Eeyore. I think violets are rather nice, said Piglet, and he laid his bunch in front of Eeyore and scampered off. Next morning, the nose at Christopher Robin's door said, gone out, back soon, CR, which is why all the animals in the forest, except, of course, the spotted and herbaceous vaxen, now know what Christopher Robin does in the mornings. So it appears that Christopher Robin is going to schools in the mornings now because he's learning how to spell, because he had his gone out, back soon sign spelled correctly. And before he had it misspelled, and he had the letters run together and it was saying gone out, back sun, really, because he had them all run together. But I guess old Christopher Robin's been going to school in the mornings like Wynn. And I know that Wynn can write now, and he can spell. and do things like that, because Wynn's a big boy. It won't be very long before I get to see you, Wynn. Let's see, there's not very much tape left here, but perhaps there's enough for one more story. Let me check and see. Well, there might be enough if I can find a short story. Let me see if I can find a short one. This story is a story in which Pooh invents a new game, and Eeyore joins in. By the time it came to the edge of the forest, the stream had grown up so that it was almost a river. And being grown up, it did not run and jump and sparkle along as it used to do when it was younger, but moved more slowly. For it knew now where it was going, and it said to itself, "There is no hurry. We shall get there someday." But all the little streams higher up in the forest went this way and that, quickly, eagerly, having so much to find out before it was too late. There was a broad track, almost as broad as a road leading from the outland to the forest. But before it could come to the forest, it had to cross this river. So where it crossed, there was a wooden bridge, almost as broad as a road, with wooden rails on each side of it. Christopher Robin could just get his chin onto the top rail if he wanted to, but it was more fun to stand on the bottom rail so that he could lean right over and watch the river slipping slowly away beneath him. Pooh could get his chin onto the bottom rail if he wanted to, but it was more fun to lie down and get his head under it and watch the river slipping slowly away beneath him. And this was the only way in which Piglet and Roo could watch the bottom of the river at all, because they were too small to reach the bottom rail, so they would lie down and watch it as it slipped very slowly, being in no hurry to get there. One day, when Pooh was walking towards this bridge, he was trying to make up a piece of poetry about fir cones, because they were lying about on either side of him, and he felt singing. So he picked up a fir cone and looked at it and said to himself, "This is a very good fir cone, and something ought to rhyme to it." But he couldn't think of anything, and suddenly came to his head. "Here is a mystery about a little fir tree. Al says it's his tree, and Kanga says it's her tree." "Which doesn't make sense," said Pooh, "because Kanga doesn't live in a tree." He'd come to the bridge, and not looking where he was going, he tripped over something, and the fir cone jerked out of his paw and into the river. "Bother," said Pooh, as it floated slowly under the bridge. He went back to get another fir cone, which had a rhyme to it. But then he thought that he would just look at the river instead, because it was a peaceful sort of day. So he lay down and looked at it, and it slipped slowly away beneath him, and suddenly there was his fir cone, slipping away too. "That's funny," said Pooh. "I dropped it on the other side," said Pooh, "and it came out on this side. I wonder if it would do it again." And he went back for more fir cones. It did. It kept on doing it. Then he dropped two in at once and leant over the bridge to see which of them would come out first. And one of them did. But as they were both the same size, he didn't know if it was the one which he wanted to win or the other one. So next time he dropped one big one and one little one, and the big one came out first, which is what he had said it would do, and the little one came out last, which was what he had said it would do, so he won twice. And when we went home for tea, he had won 36 and lost 28, which meant that you take 28 from 36, and that's what he was, instead of the other way around. And that was the beginning of the game called Pooh Sticks, which Pooh invented, and which he and his friends used to play on the edge of the forest. But they played it with sticks instead of fir cones, because they were easier to mark. Now one day, Pooh and Piglet and Rabbit and Roo are all playing Pooh Sticks together. They had dropped their sticks in when Rabbit said go, and they had hurried across the other side of the bridge, and now they're all leaning over the edge, waiting to see whose stick would come out first. But it was a long time coming, because the river was very lazy that day, and hardly seemed to mind if it didn't ever get there at all. "I can see mine," cried Roo. "No, I can't. It's something else. Can you see yours, Piglet?" "I thought I could see mine, but I couldn't." "There it is." "No, it isn't. Can you see yours, Pooh?" "No," said Pooh. "I expect my stick stuck," said Roo. "Rabbit, my stick stuck." "Is your stick stuck, Piglet?" "They always take longer than you think," said Rabbit. "How long do you think they'll take?" asked Roo. "I can see yours, Piglet," said Pooh suddenly. "Mine's a sort of grayish one," said Piglet, not daring to lean too far over in case he fell in. "Yes, that's what I can see. It's coming over onto my side." Rabbit leant over further than ever, looking for his, and Roo wriggled up and down, calling out, "Come on, stick, 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 stick," and Piglet got very excited, because his was the only one which he had been seen, and that meant he was winning. "It's coming," said Pooh. "Are you sure it's mine?" squeaked Piglet excitedly. "Yes, because it's gray, a big gray one. Here comes a very big gray, oh, no, it's Eeyore." And out floated Eeyore. "Eeyore," cried everybody. Looking very calm and very dignified with his legs in the air, Eeyore came floating beneath the bridge. "It's Eeyore," cried Roo, terribly excited. "Is that so?" said Eeyore, getting caught up by a little eddy and turning slowly around three times. "I wondered." "I didn't know you were playing," said Roo. "I'm not," said Eeyore. "Eeyore, what are you doing there?" said Rabbit. "I'll give you three guesses, Rabbit. Digging holes in the ground?" "Wrong." "Leaping from branch to branch of a young oak tree?" "Wrong." "Waiting for somebody to help me out of the river?" "Right." "Give Rabbit time and he'll always get the answer." "But Eeyore," said Pooh in distress, "what can we, I mean, how shall we, you think if we..." "Yes," said Eeyore, "one of those would be just the thing. Thank you, Pooh." "He's going round and round," said Roo, very much impressed. "And why not?" said Eeyore coldly. "I can swim too," said Roo proudly. "Not round and round," said Eeyore. "It's much more difficult. I didn't want to come swimming at all today," he went on revolving slowly. "But if, when in, I decided to practice a slight circular movement from right to left, or perhaps I should say," he added, as he got into another eddy, "from left to right, just as it happens to occur to me, it is nobody's business but my own." There was a moment's silence while everybody thought. "I got a sort of idea," said Pooh at last, "but I don't suppose it's a very good one." "I don't suppose it is either," said Eeyore. "Go on, Pooh," said Rabbit, "let's have it." "Well, if we all threw stones and things into the river on one side of Eeyore, the stones would make waves and the waves would wash them to the other side."
Oh, Wynn, the tape is just coming to the end. I guess you'll have to stop in the middle of this story, and perhaps you can get Mommy to finish it, if she can find the Winnie the Pooh book. I'm sure she'll...